Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
And here we go, Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, back on the air here on WGNRadio.com, high atop the 7th floor of the Trib Tower on the Magnificent Mile for yet another week of hockey goodness. Mike Jacobson right here, man to my right, Scott King there. Hello, sir.
Mike, how's it going?
Fantastic. It's a little chilly out there
today.
Chilly.
So chilly, it's snowing again.
Goes from 50 to 20 in snow today. I don't like that.
You could use that pretty snow on Christmas. I don't know. Do we really need snow in February? Does it help anybody?
No.
In February?
Oh, man, the roads were a mess this morning, too. Oh, yeah? Listening to the traffic reports here on WGN, just an absolute disaster. Because just for you people out there that don't know how to drive in snow, when it first falls down on the actual pavement, that's when it's the slipperiest.
Right.
Now, there's not any accumulation, but that's when it's the slipperiest. So be careful. Yeah. Right when it's first dropping. You should always be careful.
There are light little flakes today. I don't think there's any danger. People lose their mind, don't they?
Oh,
especially if they
have
license plates that suggest they're not from here. People absolutely lose their crap.
Yeah, that is true. I lived in Houston, and it snowed a little bit there one time. Oh, and God. That was like us getting it was like a quarter of an inch or something. And it was like
state of emergency. Probably called the National Guard.
It was like us getting 3 feet of snow. Yeah. I mean, was insane. They don't have salt, so they're throwing sand everywhere, and it was just a disaster. But so it wasn't that bad today, but I do miss the 50-degree weather, even though it was a monsoon yesterday. I'll take that all day. Every day, I'm done with snow. And we've been spoiled rotten. We didn't get, like, any snow in January. Yeah. I'm not going to complain about that. What I am going to do is talk a little bit of hockey, because that's what this podcast is for.
That's what this show is. It's a hockey show.
And we're going to mix in a little football, too.
We have to. It's a Super Bowl, and players talked about it. We have to do that.
One of the most epic Super Bowls ever. I mean, the biggest comeback in history, 25 points down. How the hell does he do it? They're down 28-3. Tom Brady brings them back. Now, I blame Atlanta just as much for losing that game, but you got to give props where they're due. And Tom Brady, the king of all clutch.
You know, I don't know if you saw anyone say this on Twitter, but apparently you can't count him out.
Really?
Yes. I don't know if you thought maybe you could count him out, but you can't count Tom Brady out.
I mean, it was one of those things, too, where you're watching it and you just see it unraveling, that it's going to happen. Like, it's like, oh, no. You know, I shouldn't say, oh, no. I was saying, oh, no, because I was actually cheering for the Falcons. But you're like, there it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's one score. Okay. And then another one. Then it's like, then they had the sack. Then the crazy catch by Edelman said, this is going to happen. Was there anybody in their mind that when they went into overtime didn't think that the Patriots were going to win? Then they win the toss, and then it's like, it's done. And you knew that, you know, the new overtime rules is they score a touchdown in the first drive, it's over. But if they get a field goal, then they have a chance. There was no chance that then Atlanta has a chance to rebuttal and tie it or win it too.
Right back,
And I said, there's no way. That
no, the Patriots get the ball, it's going to end up in the end zone.
It's going to end up 100%. In the end zone. That's exactly what happened, because finishers finish, and that's what Tom Brady is. He's got 5 championships under his belt. Some guys here local in town, Mr. Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, they've got 3 championships underneath their belt, significantly younger than Tom Brady, so they could get 5 eventually one day. But so there's comparisons. You know, who is the Tom Brady right now in Chicago sports? We had Coach Q on the Steve Cochran show yesterday that said that it was Toews and Kane, and I think that's arguably it has to be.
Yeah, it has to be.
At this point, I mean, currently, you know, having Michael Jordan, we get that,
of course. Yeah, of course.
But right now, there's really, I mean, the Bulls, nobody in the Bulls currently.
Yeah.
I mean, Dwayne Wade, but he hasn't done it here with the Bulls, so what does that matter?
Yeah.
You know, Bears, I don't even want to get into that, and... You know, nobody cares about the Chicago Fire. So
the Bears are the Joe Piscopos of Chicago.
Yeah, it's just that is a great analogy, by the way.
Thank you.
That is fantastic.
He did a good Sinatra. I don't like to crap on Joe.
Actually,
he did a good Sinatra.
You know what a good Sinatra too was? Phil Hartman had a
he had a good everything.
Chunks of stool. What is that? That's the line. Guys like you, I have chunks of guys like you in my stool.
That is the line.
That's
a great
line.
Line
right there. That's
top 3 cast member of all time. You can't say he's not Phil Hartman.
Oh, tragic attitude. But before we get into that tangent, Toews and Kane, but he is one of the best of all time. Toews and Kane, they are our Tom Brady's currently,
of course.
And they could potentially win 5 championships here in town. So, of course, naturally this week, you got to ask him about, you know, the Patriots and Taves and you – or the Patriots and Brady and – you know, Patrick Kane coming from the Northeast there knows what a big deal the Patriots are that way. So you got a chance to kind of sit down with them.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, actually sometimes you don't get a lot of media availability with the players. So they came back for one practice before they come back for the next home game on February 18th because they're in the middle of this long road trip.
Yeah, because they got a few days off and then they're got three more games in the road trip.
Yeah, and when situations like that happen, when they know that the home ice reporters basically are not going to have a lot of time around the team and they need to crank out content, either video or audio or stories like we do here. They give you some good players. So we got Kane and Taves yesterday, a bunch of other guys. And, yeah, Super Bowl is fresh on their mind. And it's interesting to hear other athletes talk about it, you know, because we just think, you know, we don't play sports. We just watch it and we're entertained by it. But they those guys know what it's like to work hard for not just an entire season to get in position to win a championship, but their whole lives to get to the big leagues and so on. So it's interesting to see them and hear them talk about how they were inspired by it.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it's pretty impressive, not only, you know, what he's done in his career, but the way he won the last one, being down 28-3. And then, you know, I think when you're watching that as an athlete, too, it's a lot of motivation. So even though I'd call myself a Bills fan, I mean, it's hard not to like Tom Brady and what he's done in his career there in the Patriots. But, yeah, it was an amazing game to watch. I think we had a lot of fun. We watched it together, and you know, even guys that some of the Europeans that might not have liked football too much come out of the game saying they liked the game. So it's it was a fun game to watch, and you know, it was the way it went. It was almost like it was like kind of written beforehand, like storybook type of ending there. But it was definitely, I think when we're watching it as a team, it's motivation for us to. You know, not be satisfied with what we've done in here, win three, you know, they've won five, so it's pretty impressive.
That's Patrick Kane right there talking about it. And he's a Bills fan, of all things, because, right. You know, growing up in the Buffalo area, and those guys' hearts have been ripped out 4 years in a row, to be exact, when they lost to the Super Bowl that many times. So for him to, you know, just kind of slide that in there, well, technically I'm a Bills fan, but it was a great, you know, it was a great game to watch. This game was
great.
You
have to give Brady credit, is what Kane's saying there. And yeah, Tom Brady's done a lot of damage to all those teams in the East, especially the Bills.
Yeah, and
a lot of people have done damage too. So
and that's what I was trying to get to. It's like he sees Tom Brady as a Bills fan twice a year, and it never goes too well for the Bills.
No, those guys know. Kane and Taves know. And in the I wrote a blog about this yesterday, about Kane and Taves talking about this on WGNRadio.com, and Taves echoed a lot of the same things. Just, you know, very inspirational. His quote, I think I put through in a title, was, "It lights that fire again," which is – it's good, and it's maybe something the Hawks need this year, is to get inspired and something to light that fire again. But other things I thought it was interesting that Kane said in there is the Europeans, you know, not really familiar with American football, and you see them sit with their teammates and enjoy the game, and now maybe they're American football fans.
Yeah, they like what they call football. Regular football for them is soccer, so and that is the world's most popular sport. So American football, it doesn't really translate to some of these Europeans and their interest when it comes to sports. But the Super Bowl is such a grand event. I mean, what was it, 117 million people
did
watched
well.
It or something? Right. Like something unbelievably ridiculous. And people that aren't even football fans watch the Super Bowl for the commercials or whatever. And
everybody's wife watches for the commercials and the halftime show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Halftime show was very good. Usually not that good.
Anybody ask Kane and Taves about that?
No,
about the halftime show?
Should have asked him.
But the thing is, like, if they don't want to talk about it, you just, as a reporter, you'd be so embarrassed that you asked about Lady Gaga and got an awful response or a look. It's funny, too, in that clip, I feel like every time I listen to audio that you record at practice at Johnny's Ice House, you just hear pucks going all around.
Oh, absolutely.
Everywhere, hitting pipes, hitting the net,
well, then
hitting
after,
the boards.
And then after the game, in the actual dressing room in the United Center, all you hear are the fans in the background.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's a little bit annoying when you're trying to get clean audio, but, you know, it's what we got to do. You have to have the fans going, because if you've ever been in a dressing room, there's probably nothing worse smelling in the world than a hockey dressing room after a game. It's just a big wave of BO.
Yes.
So at least with those fans, it helps circulate some of the air a little bit.
You ever be in a room where they, like, you know, usually they play music when they win, every team, every sport.
Yes.
You ever be in a room where they just don't turn the music down, like you're trying to do interviews?
Yeah, it's really annoying. But a lot of baseball. locker rooms or like that.
I was going to say baseball. I was asking you if you experienced that. Yeah, definitely the clubhouses.
Clubhouses are big for that. Guy who was really famous for that, never turning his music down. Now, I did not because I was too young, but this is what I've heard. Sammy Sosa was notorious for not turning down his music. So, slamming Sammy. And of course, that's a whole nother podcast, too, right
working
there.
That bat.
Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here. That's Scott King. I am Mike Jacobson. You mentioned a little bit ago, Chelsea Blogger. The Chelsea Blogger blog is on our radio station's website, which you're listening to right now. I can get it out. WGNradio.com. He probably 2-3 times a week you write something.
I try to, yeah.
And it's,
try to do at least two.
It's always good stuff. And the best part that I love about it is that it gets to the point. It's not you know, you're not going to read one of Scott's pieces and it's going to take half your afternoon. It's good, quick information and good, fun reads. So
thank
he's
you,
always
Mike.
Got great quotes
thank
in there.
You.
So make sure you check that out at WGNradio.com, the Chelsea Blogger. As for the Blackhawks and what's going on the ice tonight, they are in Minnesota to take on Bruce Boudreau and the Wild. They've got three more games on this road trip. Did not go so well. They've been struggling a little bit as of late. They've won a couple in a row now.
Two in a row heading
but they
into
had dropped,
Minnesota.
They had dropped three prior to that, so now it's what do you know? Let's see what happens.
That's
now.
Just how the season's been. It's been win a couple, lose a couple all season long. So that's you know, in a lot of specific areas, they're looking for consistency, but mainly just in their record and their games each week, you're looking for a consistency.
Now they had a little bit of time off here in between these games, so it either could be a positive and they get kind of a reboot and sort of a recharge, if you so will. If you so will, does that make sense? Probably not. Going to go with it anyway.
It does to our listeners.
Or it could have the other effect. It could be detrimental, which we would not like if you are a Blackhawks fan. That would not be good, where they kind of come out a little bit stiff tonight.
Well, here's the thing.
We'll see.
Saw on the Twitterverse, heading into the studio, that this is the third time the Hawks have had three or more days off before a game, and every time they lost that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not always good to – you know, they're practicing in that span, too, in those days off. So they're getting at least a practice or two.
Oh, yeah, it's not like they're sitting on the couch and just
but you can't beat
eating potato chips.
Can't beat game situations against real teams, you know. So we'll see. I mean that's not a huge – it's interesting. It's not like a huge, long stat. It's a small sample size, but we'll see if they can turn it around tonight.
So are the Wild a tougher matchup for the Hawks this year?
I think so. I think not just the fact that the Wild are in first in the Central. First in the Central and first in the West. Yeah, of course. And not just because they've got a great coach now in Boudreau who's really I don't want to say turn things around because they were progressing and improving in a lot of areas, becoming a tougher matchup anyways. But I think they definitely are. You look at the Hawks now, second in Central, 69 points. Minnesota has 75 points. But I think you have guys in Minnesota like Granlund has 48 points. To reference that, Kane has 52. And either one of them, you know, well, especially, I don't know about Granlund, but Kane gets hot. I was going to say he might have another 100-point season because we're just a little more than halfway through.
Yeah.
So
it's the realm, it's definitely possible.
Yeah. And look, they've got a good goalie in Dubnyk, who him and Crawford both allowed five goals in the All-Star
yeah.
tournament first round. But you know that doesn't matter. They're both great goalies. And
said it last week. Why would you want to sign up for that?
Ugh.
Be a goalie in that tournament? It's just
I don't
brutal.
Know. Looks like they have fun, but still, it's got to be embarrassing on some level.
Yeah, we all got our pride here,
mm-hmm.
and everybody kind of goes into it knowing that it's probably going to be a high scoring event. But geez,
yeah,
it's gotta be rough.
I was gonna throw in that Dubnyk's goals against the average is. Shade right under two, so it's 1.99, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, he's having a great year, and I've always liked him. He's definitely one of the better goalies in the conference, and he's showing that this year. I mean that's an amazing stat. So
they've only seen the Wild one other time, January 15th. This is the second matchup. They're going to have two more after tonight with the Wild, which would be good to get in before the playoffs. So last game January 15th. Kane had a good game. Hawks lost 3-2 at the UC. But Kane had a good game. Season high 12 shots. He had two goals in his first multi-goal game.
That was the 12 shot game. That's
yeah,
correct.
That's
right.
That's insane.
He was
how many
all
times
over
you
the
look,
place.
How many times are you looking at the stats on NHL.com when you're watching a game and you see like the best players like don't even have a shot in a period?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so that's
and the
pretty,
fact that you get 12 in one game.
That's
I
pretty insane.
Distinctly remember that.
So he's, you know, he's did well against them. So.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. We will definitely see what happens. And we know what what the Wild have done against the Hawks in the playoffs in years past, that's a little bit different. But
yeah, it's a different team. Both teams are different.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the Hawks rookies who, another interesting stat, have scored two or more of the team's goals in seven games this season. So that might be a little more than you want your rookies contributing. You might want your veterans to contribute a little bit. But the Hawks rookies are definitely doing pretty well, I would say. I would say the – I was actually talking to Kevin Powell in the old WGN lounge before the show, where everyone who just hangs out in between shows.
Yeah.
And I think the surprising thing with the Hawks, and this is how they're a different team, is you add Campbell, you have young guys like Kempney and Forsling. Forsling's had a good couple games since he came back from Rockford recently. But you add all those guys, and things still aren't working out. The D hasn't been as deep as – you would want or expect it to be. And I think that's been the main problem with the Hawks. Yeah, you wanted Taves to start to contribute more, but he is now. He's got 9 points in his last seven games, and you wanted that second line to wake up a little bit. I think they're in a process of doing that now on offense. But defense, I can't get enough stats out today, apparently. But this one I just thought was interesting because it's really telling. It's the Blackhawks are 30th in the NHL for controlled entries by defensemen per game. So that's entering the zone.
Wow.
That's entering the zone, and you have a Keith, and you have Seabrook, and Campbell, and all these guys. That's entering the zone. They're just not setting up plays or making clean entries on good passes.
It's, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, very.
All the talent they have there, you expect it to be a lot better. And that's really a problem.
We usually keep fan questions till the end, but sure. I kind of wanted to bring this one up because our first fan question, and you can submit those. He's at Scott King Media on Twitter. I'm at Jacobson Radio, but do it at our Facebook page. Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy is the best way to do it. And at Blackhawk Up, do you anticipate tonight's game being scrappy? Because there was that, the Duma hit last year.
Yes.
That was not, that's going to be fresh in their minds. Even though
it is somewhat.
Yeah.
They got a game in January.
They did, but that blood really doesn't – that bad blood always continues to boil.
If you remember that play, Panarin did everything but drop his gloves on Dumba after. Panarin bum-rushed him and got a few good ones in. And that was the first time you saw that kind of aggression from Artemi Panarin. So that was interesting that game. But, I don't think so. I don't think – that was one hit, and that was last year. They did play and have a nice competitive game in January, on January 15th at the UC. I think that's kind of old hat. It's not like a matchup with the Blues or Boston or anybody. It's not a tough matchup, a gritty kind of matchup. So I don't think so. I understand the question, but I think that's kind of at least in the back of everyone's minds for now.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think it's. I think it's still fresh, but I don't think it's one of those that. If it was against a true rival sort of situation, and I guess I think enough time has passed. Hockey players have a long memory.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. This is why this is not a bad question. Dumba puts a big hit on Taves. They remember right away that he hit Kane too. That's why. All it takes is one play.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
So yeah, definitely a good question. Thank you, Blackhawk Up.
There you go. And he's a great follow, by the way, if you follow that. He or she, whoever.
Whoever they are. They, another person that's not me that just got the blue check mark on Twitter, so I'm furious.
You just got the blue. You got the. You just
no,
got
they
the,
did. I wish I did.
Oh, you don't have the blue check mark?
You?
No.
Let's get a blue one.
Why don't you have a blue one?
I don't know.
You're a big deal.
But you really work here all the time. You know high up people in high places, as I like to say.
I don't know about that one. And while we're doing the fan questions, we might as well get their second one in here today.
Sure.
And then we'll probably put a bow on this pretty soon. I wanted to get one more stat in, and I wanted to get some thoughts on a rising TV star on the Blackhawks, two of them, in just a little bit. But this one comes from Panarin_72. Jenny, what's Q's problem with Vinny Hinostroza?
Good question. I was talking with, I might not phrase it that way, but I was talking with John Dietz yesterday from the Daily Herald. We were talking exactly about this because he's been a healthy scratch several games in a row. And I thought when Q sat him the first time, I think it was a week or two ago, that it would just be one of those Quinville one-game doghouses, like, you're not playing how I want, you're going to sit this game.
Yeah.
Because he's been so good for a rookie with his speed and making some plays develop that I expected to see him back in the lineup sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Problem for him is that when Jordan Tutu's been in there, he has not played bad, especially not for a fourth line guy. He got in a fight the other night. He's noticeable. Quinville likes those types of guys. But I don't know if he has an issue. I'm not sure what it is, because there's a lot of guys, even top guys, who aren't making enough scoring plays happen. So I expected him to be back in the lineup sooner when he first got benched, and I still expect him to get back in there. So I don't know. And the other issue I have there is he's a guy who has a lot of potential, and he's a young guy. So you wouldn't want to just sit him on the bench. I don't think I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You either want him in Rockford playing in game situations, or here with Chicago playing in games.
So you want him on the ice regardless.
I guess that's one move this year I don't understand, because it's been several games.
Yeah, it is strange, and we'll just kind of have to see how that plays out. But I couldn't agree with you more, and you actually took the words out of my mouth. If you're not going to play him up here, then send him to Rockford. Yeah. Get him some ice time there.
That's an old washed-up guy. He's a kid with a lot of potential.
Yeah, and a lot of potential who needs as much ice time as possible.
For sure.
So who knows? Maybe that'll change. Maybe I know Coach Q listens to the podcast quite a bit. So
He usually texts me after a great show.
Yeah. Yeah.
He always sends a selfie with that. I don't know why.
Yeah, Kingsy, I thought you really stepped it up there. And, Jake did okay, but, I really thought you carried it all for the team there.
He usually just texts Beauty after.
That's not a bad Q, right?
No, you do pretty good.
Could be worse.
You do pretty good.
Could be worse. So Blackhawks and Wild tonight as the road trip continues. They got three more to go before they actually get back here to the United Center. And basically the month of February, they're not home very much at all. It's a weird month. Yeah. It's a weird month. So until they get in March, they kind of get back to normal a little bit. But we'll see how that plays out. But I wanted to get this in here, that Crow had a huge number in Dallas on Saturday. I thought this was a pretty cool stat.
It's one of the most important ones today of the 74 stats that I rattled off all show.
Everybody loves stats, though. It's like lists. Everybody loves lists,
things,
too.
Right?
Exactly. Facts are stubborn.
Mike Jacobson's top five favorite soap operas. You know, people love lists.
That's right.
People love lists. Facts. I'll do a blog on it later.
Facts are stubborn. Someone should tell Donald Trump that. But facts, and I'm not getting into politics here. But I'm just saying.
It's another show.
Yeah, that's a whole. We've branched off into like four different shows today. It's pretty hard.
That's why people listen, though.
That's right.
They like that our brains are multidimensional.
That's right.
So Crawford got his. Got 202.
And now I distracted you.
You did. Also, here's the thing I struggled with while reading this all morning. Do you say 202nd? Because you don't say 202th.
Yeah.
202nd? Yeah,
202nd.
Doesn't it sound weird, though?
It does sound kind of weird, but that is the proper pronunciation.
No, don't worry. I'm a professional writer. he got his 202nd win. I think you are correct. On Saturday in Dallas with the 5-3 win there, which was a great team win. By the way, you had a lot of different guys scoring. That was a good win to get some momentum and get him playing in the right direction. And in that victory, Crawford passed Eddie Belfour for third all-time in Hawks franchise with wins for the goaltender.
Good old Eddie.
So that's a huge stat. That puts him up there, beyond elite company. He was recently top four, moved up to top three. So that's big.
It was a really cool stat. And it's been kind of weird, rough go of it, particularly following his appendectomy here, Crawford. So
yeah, no, that's fair.
It was kind of cool to see him get that. So maybe help the old mental psyche a little bit.
He looked better the last two games. I would say he's still not to where he was playing before the appendectomy, because he was playing so well right before the appendectomy. He's definitely one of the top goalies in the league. And he's playing better, though. You might see him get back to that level, hopefully in time for the playoffs.
So you, as we wrap things up today, had a little bit of an interesting morning while you were trying to get here.
Because
you come from the suburbs and you come downtown here.
It's like
you have a young daughter, so you got a lot of things going on in the morning.
Yeah.
Not just, you got to get yourself ready. You got to get your daughter ready.
Yes.
All that good stuff. You got to make breakfast, whatever. And everybody can relate to this, because it always happens. I feel like they have the worst timing in the world, utility companies, and you had the same thing with a specific electric company.
The suburbs are just like – it's like a different planet.
Yeah.
You have all these people – we put up a no soliciting sign because so many people kept coming by to sell us like window treatments. But no, so I'm literally getting my daughter ready. I like Wednesdays when we usually do the show now. I prepare my notes. I go over my notes. I read up on the Hawks if I haven't already. I get ready. I get my daughter ready because my wife leaves earlier for work than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad usually watches my daughter on Wednesdays. So nice day. I got some sleep. I felt good. And right, I'm getting my daughter ready. Doorbell rings. Then it's some guy from ComEd And look, I'm a paranoid guy.
I was
going
to say just an electrical company, but it's out there. Come at.
Yeah, all come right. at me, bro. You send guys to my house. I send guys to your building. Come at me, bro. But no, I don't know if it's just the suburbs or city too, but I don't know if you've seen in the news, Mike, that people are going, not just like people that solicit, but like major companies, people are going with like vests and clipboards and tags that are like not real.
They're impersonating
people and basically robbing them. So yeah. Like I didn't open the door. I pointed out no soliciting signs. I was like, oh no, we're here to work on your yard. We got to replace your electrical system. Or whatever like the hell it's called, the meter. It's a meter. Yeah. I told you earlier, I forgot from all those stats. no, so like, okay, fine. Because I knew that they put flags in our yard to do that. I knew that was going to happen. It wasn't false. I didn't think I was going to be robbed. But yeah. I finished getting ready. Literally make a bowl of oatmeal to put in the microwave for my daughter, her breakfast. And the power goes out. Literally as I'm putting it in. So I can't do that. I got to call an audible. So I cut up some blueberries, give her some baby food. We're fine. And then I realized, oh, crap, I wanted to leave on time to come do the podcast in the city. So I'm talking to these guys through my kitchen window. They're right outside where our meter is. So I'm talking to them. And one guy, I don't know if you watched The Walking Dead, Mike. He looked exactly like Negan from The Walking Dead.
I do not.
He's a bad guy. He's awesome.
But I'm sure people that consume the podcast, there's got to be somebody out there that can make the comparison.
He's big. But he had this menacing smile, and I'm talking to him through the window while I'm with my daughter, like, hey, like, you guys going to fix this soon? He's like, oh, it should just be 30 minutes to 45 minutes. So luckily I got on time. There's no traffic today, but it's like
30 to 45 minutes, though. That's actually a pretty good window. It's not like Comcast.
Yeah.
Speaking of dropping names, we'll be there between 9 and 7.
If we just had our meter fixed a couple months ago. I don't know. Like, does this one, like, just rip you off way more?
What do you
come at me, bro?
Well, you got to pull out your bills and just got to compare and contrast now. You might have been screwed there. I'm just saying.
It's a good thing 2 million people listen to the podcast. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to pay this accelerated ComEd rates on my electricity. Oh my god!
And on that fun note, we will put a bow on it. How about that? Ready to do it?
Sounds great. I hope you guys like the story.
As you chuck some coffee. Blackhawks Grizzly Podcast. Again, follow us on Facebook. God, man, we're both struggling today.
That's okay.
Facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. Facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. Twitter, he is at Scott King Media. I am at Jacobson Radio. See what the Blackhawks do tonight against the Wild. We will talk to you next week. See where the Hawks stand then. See you.